Limud of Hilchos Bishul is going to naturally break down into a number of different segments. It's more similar to other areas of halacha we've seen in the past, unlike maybe Tochen and Lush. They were much more like a single sugya and just many different cheshbonos, many different variables. Here, as we're going to see, Hilchos Bishul is organized in a way that's perhaps more similar to many areas outside of Hilchos Shabbos. And in a sense, that's already apparent in the Mishnayos. It's always good when you come across a concept and you're thinking about an Erev Halacha to be sensitive to how early things are quoted in the literature of Chazal, and specifically to notice Yehuda HaNasi was very, very sparing in terms of what he put into Mishnayos explicitly, what's Merumas in Mishnayos. It's certainly good to be sensitive to notice when there are concepts that appear in Mishnayos. It's striking that the Bishul appears four or five times, aside from obviously the Mishnah 9 Gimel, which has every single Malacha. So as you saw in the Mar Makomos, Kedai to start from the fact that there are two Mishnayos in Parakira and two Mishnayos in Parakavas, where Bishul, the Malacha Daraisa Bishul, leaving aside Dinim Drabban, of which there are plenty, and those also have a fair amount of real estate in Mishnah, in terms of the Malacha Daraisa of Bishul. The Malacha of Bishul itself, not Shia, not Chazara, not Hatzmana, not leaving aside Rechitza, the Malacha of Bishul appears in four different places. The Mishnah later, we'll come back in a moment, to our Mishnah, Lamed Ches, just to begin to sketch things out. The Mishnah on later in Parakir and Daf Mem Beis talks about Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Rishon al Gabei Eish, Kli Rishon Shlo al Gabei Eish, as well as Kli Sheni. The first of the two Mishnayos in Perek Chavis, the Mishnah Kuf Mem Hei, moves to talk about the Davar HaMavushal Kvar. The principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is already a Mishnah. And then you have the Mishnah Kuf Mem Vav, also in Perek Chavis, that is explicitly about Bishul Bechama. The Mishnah there says explicitly that Bishul Bechama is mutter. You're allowed to put the water out in the sun so that it will become Cham, so that it will heat up. Even though usually heating water is a Malacha of Bishul, here it is not. And then we circle back around. We circle back around to our Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah Lamed Ches is talking about Toldos, as the Gemara is going to explain, it's talking about Toldos Ur versus Toldos Chamas. So already in the Mishnayos, Bishul appears multiple times, and there are a number of different concepts that the Mishnayos are presenting to us. Mishnayos are talking to us about Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Mishnayos are talking to us about Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. And the Mishnayos are talking to us about the source of the heat. Chama, Toldos, or Toldos Chama. And there are other concepts we're going to be coming across as well, like how cooked is cooked, in terms of Machal, Ben Drusai, and beyond. That's going to come up, to be intertwined with the Sugya of Ein Bishul, Achar Bishul. So we're already seeing, even from the presentation of Mishnayos, that the Malach of Bishul is sort of a series of separate Sugyas. They're all interconnected. And that's part of why the limit of Malachas Bishul is going to be more distributed in a series of sugyas. And then thinking specifically about this topic of the source of the heat, which again appears in the Mishnah Kuf Mem Vav, the Bishul Bechama is Mutter. And here, the Gemara understands that the Mecham is a metal, some sort of metal pot, as Rashi says, a metal kettle that was heated by fire, and the sudarin were heated in the sun. Presumably, if you try to heat a sudar on the fire, you risk losing your sudar to being burnt up. So the mecham was heated with the toldos ur, and the sudar is a toldos chama, and the Mishnah says that toldos ur is aser, and the toldos chama, whether it's Aser or Mutter, Machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. truth is, it could be there's another Mishnah also, Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, that also talks about this this issue of Toldos Ur, Mechem Shepinahu with the Ba'am Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. And as we'll see when we get to yet another question, which is how hot is hot? Because the sugya of Yad Soled Esbos, so that's the sugya of Memem Beis, we're not up to it yet. And it's perhaps at least referenced in the Mishnah on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph as well. So you have a lot of Mishnahs. But we're focused right now on the question of the source of the heat. The Toldos Ur is Aser, and Toldos Chama is a Machlokas HaTanoim. And the Gemara said, there may be a machlokas, Bavli Rishalmi, how Aser is Aser in terms of Toldos Ur. Because the Mishnah never said Chayiv. The Mishnah said don't. So the Gemara starts right away, Ibai Luhu Gilgal Mai, and Yosef says Gilgal Chayiv Chatos. What's that Ibai about? So a couple of Rishonim, Raj Baritva, are say, Amaram is or say Betheir. So the question is, Einosin Gilgal is obviously a reference to Einosin Beitza B'tzad HaMechem B'shrush Tiz Galgal. You know, I put the egg, which cooks very easily, next to the hot kettle, so that it'll be Mizgalgal, so it'll cook somewhat. And let's say I did, and a taka cooked. So Yosef says, Chayev Chata. So that's the Raj Baruch to explain that the question that what's the Shaila? Of course, Bishul is a Chiv. That's the Mishnah Nayin Gimel. It's one of the malachas. So these Rishonim explain the question was told us or is told us or asim in Torah or asim in Rabbanan. And Yosef is saying that's asim in Torah. Yerushalmi Rajba late in the sugya. Since Yerushalmi might be saying Yerushalmi might be telling us that told us or is an Isra Rabbanan. The Rambam does not pass in the way. The Rambam is very clear. Toldos Ur is a chiyuv daraisa. Yeah, and then the Gemara moves on to the question of Toldos Chama. So what's the story of the Toldos Chama? So it's interesting that the Gemara initially presents a stira between the Mishnayos. The Gemara says, how can you tell me that the lo yafkiyena besudarin, but the stam Mishnah later, the Bishul B'chama is mutter? And the Gemara's initial, before of Nachman's final terrors, the Gemara's initial approach is maybe that Mishnah is Rav Yosef. That's what Ritva points out. That the Gemara's Havamina was if Bishul Bechama is Mutter, then Bishul Betoldos Chama should certainly be Mutter. That was the Gemara's Havamina. So the Gemara said the only one who could hold Bishul Bechama is Mutter is Rav Yosef, because the Chacham hold it even Bishul Betoldos Chama is also certainly Bishul B'chama is also. That's the Gemara says, no, you misunderstand. Everyone holds the Bishul B'chama is mutter, and the Bishul B'tal is chama isn't also because of the chama, adraba. Besides the chama, it's mutter. The question is, do you make a gezeira atu tolda sa'ur? So that's the maskana of the Milsa, and that's how all the Rishonim quoted. They told us, Bishul B'ur is chayiv, and Bishul B'tal sa'ur is chayiv. Bishul B'chama is mutter. Bishul B'toldos Chama should have been mutter, but it's aser according to the Chachamim. It's aser, and that's how we paskin. It's aser gzeira mishum toldos haur. It's aser gzeira mishum toldos haur. So I'm going to leave out the frying pan. On a hot summer day, in particular it may not work as well in New York, it'll work better in Arizona. I leave out the frying pan on a hot summer day, by the end of the afternoon, I'm ready to make scrambled eggs, fresh scrambled eggs, with covered shalshudas, so that Rabbi Yossi would have said that Heter Gamer. Today, you have your frying pan, and it's hot from the sun. Today, crack the eggs. And make your Tanik Shabbos. According to Grace, it's a mitzvah Tanik Shabbos. And we assume it's Nisra Drabbanon of Bishul Betoldos Chama. Now, there are several issues that come up. There are several practical shilas that are raised. How about if Bishul B'chama is normal? That's one practical issue that comes up. And how about if you have some third source of heat? Some third source of heat. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. In Chela Gimel of Arachayim, Simon Chav Beis, how about a microwave? Which at the time, if you read to the end of the tshuva, this was written in 1971, Tavshin Lamed Alf. So at the time, it's clear from the end of the tshuva. First, there's a whole tshuva of Bishul B'chama, and then at the end, they say it's clear that the Shaila was about the microwave. So he says they're fascinating. He says the microwaves are common. They're not common yet. He says they're not common yet because people don't use them frequently because most people don't have them. The machines are not yet matzoi. But when the machines will be matzoi, everyone will be using it. They're even better than ovens ever will be using microwaves. And Moshe Feinstein was correct. As microwaves became more common, they definitely became very, very popular. So the question is, a third, what would be the story with a third source of heat? So it's interesting that the Gemara, to an extent, discusses this issue. And the Gemara, the bottom of Lama Tessa and Ma'alv, suggests that might be at the core of the Machlokas Rabbi Yosef and the Chachamim. Machlokas Rabbi Yosef and the Chachamim was on the level of Drabanan, don't you make Gzeira? So not in terms of the Lumdus is driving Rabbi Yosef and the Chachamim, but the Gemara says, I'll be Cheshbin. The Machlokas Rabbi Yosef and the Chachamim might be rooted in the Machlokas Rabbi Yosef and the Chachamim of the nature of geothermal heat. Because the Gemara tries to figure out what to start. The Mishnah quotes the story of the Anshe Tveria. So as you saw, the Gemara has a discussion about how that relates to Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. The Anshe Tveria had run, not on Shabbos, like on Tveria, in Tveria, their hot springs, so they had run a pipe of cold, fresh, drinkable water through the Chamei Tveria. The Chamei Tveria are not for drinking, but they're naturally hot, geothermal heat. So they ran a pipe of cold drinking water through the Chamei, through a pool of Chamei Tveria, and that would heat up the cold water from the heat of the Chamei Tveria. So the Gemara at the bottom of Lama Tessa and Aleph suggests that the Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Yossi that the Mishnah quotes that the Chachamim had Chachmei Tveria, sounds like, wherever the Chachamim, the Anshei Tveria, were consulting with, they told them that that's considered to be a bishul. You have to treat that water as water that was cooked on Shabbos. So the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara says, well, you see from the story of the Anshei Tveria, the Chacham of that earlier period, they treated that as bishul, even though it was told as chama. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, I think it's told as or. That's what Gemara says. It's a question of do you see the geothermal heat as being or chama? So at the very least, that's a way to begin thinking about third categories of heat. So that those are some of the practical questions. From the practical question, what do you do with Dud Shemesh in Eretz Yisrael? The water is getting heated on the rooftop. And what do you do with the microwave? So there are several underlying issues. Several underlying shilas and kashas. Let's unpack three. One underlying issue is to the nature of the heter of Bishul B'chama. So Rashi says, and the Ran quotes this, that Bishul B'chama is mutter. Rashi and Lamed Tessa Menalf, Ein Derech Bishul B'kach. Ein Derech Bishul B'kach. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva, and Rav Shechter quotes that this is what the Rav said also, that he thought that's something that an issue that can be reopened. At Betkufas Chazal, Bishul B'chama was unusual. So the Mela, it's not the Derech. So that's a Mishnah and Sadi Beis. The Melacha D'Oraisa is only when you're doing it Kedarka. You do it Shaloka, there's no Chiyuv Chatzos if you carry something in your mouth. Or if you're a writer who writes with your left hand, so that's not a malacha d'oraisa, that's malacha shel kedarka. So That's what that's how Rav Moshe and the Rav understood this Rashi. Ein derech bishul b'kach. Okay, so if bizmana zed is derech bishul, so then it would be a problem. And but the number of poskim Eretz Yisrael, in particular Shlomo Zalman Orbach, understood that that's not the case. No, that's a din. It's a permanent din that Bishul B'chama remains mutter, not Tolos Chama, Bishul B'chama Mamish remains mutter even if facts on the ground change and Bishul B'chama becomes a Dover Ruggel. Now the truth is, in thinking about this issue, it's number one, the fact that we differentiate between toldos or and toldos chama, so that's striking, and that's easier to understand if you're going to say like Shlomo Zalman Orbach that there's like a halacha that Bishul B'chama is not called chama. So then, okay, so if it's sourced, and if the heat is originally solar heat, even though now it's solar heat was collected by this metal pan, okay, that's still Minat Torah's Mutter, because that's not the Etzim, that's not Bishul. If you're going to say that it really just has to do with what's typical, what's atypical, so it's a little more difficult to understand the differentiate. I understand Bishul B'chama is atypical, or Bishul B'tolos Chama, okay, maybe say, well, that's also atypical, because people often put pans on the fire. How often do people leave pans out in the sun? Okay, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that the way the Gemara and the Bavli and the Tesam Rav we were just discussing understands that the machlokus of Yosef and the Chachamim was Chame Tver told Zohar told us Chama. That's difficult. Rashi finds himself points out it's difficult lefi his approach. If it really is totally in derech, so how do you? What does it matter? What's the essential nature of geothermal heat? Whether it's chalfia pischut gehem or not, do we see it as this form of or? What does that mean? Is it kedarka or shalok kedarka? It's not a essential halachic category. It's a practical question of what's kedarka. So that also makes that law in the Gemara that Rav Yosef and the Chama are arguing whether to categorize the Tolos or Tolos Chama, that's easier to understand lefi Rav Shlomo Zalman. On the other hand, you have Rashi. Rashi says, "Hey, derech bishul b'kach." That seems pretty clearly like Rav Moshe and the Rav. It should be noted if you look in the Meiri. He says, Ein Torah's Bishul. He doesn't say it's not. That sounds like more maybe an essential halachic category. Perhaps that's part, perhaps it's a Rei Machlokes Rishonim, maybe. Moreover, perhaps the largest kasha against Rav Moshe and the Rav is that Bishul B'chama, the notion that we don't consider Bishul B'chama to be Bishul, on the level of Doraisa even, that's the level of Drabanan, is not something that's unique to Hilchos Shabbos. That's something that's true B'chol Torah Kula. We talk about Bishul of a Karban Pesach. So Bishul of a Karban Pesach, Bishul B'chama, not the same. Bishul Basar B'chol of B'chama is not Bishul Doraisa. So it becomes very difficult offhand to understand. Well, what do you mean that it's a shul kedarka? It's a din hilchos Shabbos, not din hilchos Shabbos. It sounds like a din in the gedder of Bishul B'chol Torah Kula. So that's where, if you saw, Rabbi Chanan discusses in Shiurim on Ksubas. Ksubas Daf Samach is one of the places you have a discussion about doing Malacha Shlo Kedarka on Shabbos, in Masechet Ksubos, it's together with the Maris Ayin Sugya, very important. Those who are learning Bas B'chalav, you come across that in Daf Pei Zayin, assuming Simin Pei Zayin Yerdeya. So the Gemara there talks about, they have a gutter that's full of leaves, so it may be a Malacha to clear out the leaves. How about if I do it with my foot in an unusual way, so that's going to be doing a Derech Shinoi. Derech Shina is not going to be an Issa Daraisa. So Rabbi Chanan there talks about the concept of Shalom Kedarka, which again is already a Mishnah Tzadi Beis, here in Masach HaShabbos on Daf Tzadi Beis, as you saw. The Mishnah talks about a fellow who's carrying something in an unusual fashion. You're carrying Kol Achar Yad. You're carrying your mouth, you're carrying your ear, something like that. So something which is unusual. Sometimes the classic early 20th century American look of the pencil behind your ear, so that was normal. Okay, but carrying something that's abnormal to carry in your ear, so that's considered to be Shalom Kol Achar Yad, and that is not a malacha daraisa. So Rabbi Chanan has something fascinating here. So Rabbi Chanan writes there, and he develops a number of rayas. He says the idea of Shalom Kedarka is not unique to Shabbos. He says the idea of Shalom Kedarka is often, the Rosh Hashanah likes to quote this, mipam lapam, is often b'chal Torah Kula. It's a principle in general in terms of how we interpret Psukim and Chumash. We assume that the Psukim and Chumash describe activities. The default assumption is that we're just talking about the normal way to perform those activities. That's what we talk about, the entry of a mitzora into an entry of a person into bayis hamanuga. If you're walking backwards, bia derech chov is lo mikri bia. That's not called walking. Why not? I walked in. I'm inside. The answer is, but that's an abnormal way to do that activity. Yotza kohen, ba kohen, so on and so forth. Even though it's not a hill down, nowhere near Hilchos Shabbos, it doesn't matter. That's where Rabbi Chanan develops. It's a general principle of Torah Kula that activities described are assumed to be done in normal fashion. So saying, and one of his rayas is this. Rashi says that the bishul is bishul b'chamas is mutter because it's not derech bishul. And yet, that's going to be true in Basa B'chalav, it's going to be true in Bishul Akum, it's going to be true in Karban Pesach, and so on and so forth. The answer is yeah, because that's Bishul. Bishul B'chama is abnormal Bishul, and that's relevant not only Hilchos Shabbos, that is relevant B'chal HaTorah Kula. But again, so that's a Yishuv. Rabbi Chanan seems to be assuming, number one, offhand seems to be assuming I'm not sure it's Mukhruch. Certainly, Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Rav assumed that not only like Rashi, to take Rashi literally, that means it's Shalom Kedarka, but that Rav Moshe and the Rav assumed, and if that changes, then the din changes. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman again disagreed. Rav Shlomo Zalman assumed that the Bishul B'chama remains mutter even in a context, in a culture, or in a period of time in history wherein Bishul B'chama is normal. It still remains mutter. He has a fascinating raya from Shmir Shabbos quotes here in Perek Aleph Os Mem Hei, where he talks about Duchemesh. He has a long and very, very fascinating footnote Kuf Chav Zayin. Towards the end, he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman. And he points out Rav Shlomo Zalman has a fascinating raya. Magen Avraham talks as a longer context. Magen Avraham is Siman Shanad, deep into Siman Shanalev, talks about hanging clothing to dry. And Magen Avraham relates drying the clothes, the libun shebo, the cleansing aspect of it, to the bishul. In the midst of the Magen Avraham is a cheshbon. And he says, well, if Bishul B'chama would be considered to be Bishul, then Libun B'chama would be, then the fact that you're drying out the water, B'chama would be considered Libun. Okay, but since it's not, so that's why it's mutter to, other than Marasai, mutter to hang the clothing. So Shlomo Zalman says, well, one second. It's absolutely normal to hang clothing to dry in the sun. So if you really think that Bishul B'chama is only mutter insofar as it's abnormal, so then it's irrelevant to hanging clothes in the sun, which before the invention of electric dryers or gas dryers, everyone did all the time. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, from that, it's clear that Magen Avraham is assuming that Bishul B'chama is mutter even in cases where Bishul B'chama is normal. And again, Why should that be true, on the other hand? On the other hand, Taka, why is it true? Why is it true? After all, Rav and Rav Moshe point out, if it's mutzah because it's shelo kedarka, so if it's kedarka, then it's kedarka. So there are two ways of understanding this position. One is, as I said, maybe the Rishon would disagree. Maybe the Meiri disagrees. He'd say, no, it's Etzem Adin. That's against the whole Rav Chanan. They say, this is part of the, just like that. There are halachic definitions for all sorts of behaviors and concepts. There's a halachic definition of what a bias is, right? There's a bias in Sukkah, daf dal. It says part of the definition of a bias is dal al dal. That's relevant. The bias rattles off 10, 15 half minutes. And the halachas of makkah and mezuzah and maybe sukkah. Bias means dal al dal. There's a definition of what lechem means. Lechem means it's made from five grains. And lechem means perhaps that machlokes rishon. Does it mean it was baked? Does it mean it was dough? And so on and so forth. And that definition of the concept of lechem is going to be relevant to the level of derisa in many areas of halacha. Be relevant to farshas challah. Be relevant to matzah and so on and so forth. So there could be a definition of the concept of bishul. It doesn't have to do with kedarka or shelo kedarka. It's a simple reading of Meiri. So if you say part of the definition of bishul is it's with the heat of fire. So then that's a one derech hamelach approach to understanding this position of Rishon Zalman, that, and again, he sees it rooted in the Magen Avraham, that there's an essential unchanging din that Bishul Bechama is always mutter, even in a context or at a time in history when it's normal. There could be another way of working it out, and then you have to sort of get into the thicket of that tshuva of, ironically, of Moshe Feinstein. Because one of the cheshbonos Rav Moshe has is, well, chama, you know, to think about, this is some earlier achronim pick up on, and Rav Moshe sort of works the cheshbon differently. He says that they didn't do chama in the Mishkan. Therefore, so Rav Moshe says, okay, so they didn't have chama in the Bishul B'chama in the Mishkan. So it could be a tolda. Plenty of toldas like that. The av is what they did in the Mishkan, but there could be toldas. So it could be, as a matter of fact, the tolda sa'ur is a tolda. And not enough. Okay. So he says, but one of the things he raises is the fact that chama is shelo kedarka is what gets in the way of learning it out from of making a tolda of ur, because of shelo kedarka. So he pilpels with that svara. So it could be that maybe Rishon Zalman would say that since at the time of the Mishkan, Bishul B'chama was unusual, so maybe, you gotta think about that, but it'd be quite a leap to say, so that's why it doesn't become a toll. It's not what they did in the Mishkan, and since now it's not what they did in the Mishkan, but it was absolutely unusual, so it never became a tolda. Maybe. But certainly there is halacha lamasa, there is a machlokas, 20th century achronim, whether if Bishul B'chama is normal, is it mutter or is it aser? That's clearly a machlokas. And that's going to affect also, so this underlying kasha, this one underlying kasha in the sugya of how can you tell me it's not derech bishul if it's relevant to other areas of halacha? So again, according to Rav Moshe and Shamazal, according to Rav Moshe and the Rav, you're going to have to come on to Rav Chanan's idea that shelo kedarka is a din b'chal Torah kula, according to Shlomo Zalman. Certainly, if you say that he's lined with the Meiri, it's nothing to do with the shelo kedarka. This is a definition of bishul. There's a concept of bishul b'chal Torah kula. It's relevant, just like there's a concept of kosev b'chal Torah kula. It's relevant in Shabbos and it's relevant in ksivas gittin and ksivas sefer Torah. So there's a definition. There's a concept of bishul b'chal Torah kula relevant in Shabbos and elsewhere. And maybe that's part of the essential definition of bishul. And that's why in the discussion about Dud Shemesh, can you use, that's very kind of, as you know, ubiquitous in Eretz Israel, to have the hot water heaters on the roofs of the building. Often you can tell whether a particular village is Jewish or not by looking at the color. I'm not sure why, but the color of the Dudei Shemesh. Right? The Jewish homes have white Dudei Shemesh, and Arab homes have black Dudei Shemesh. I don't know why.
It's cheaper in the black
Ah, so why do the Jews not use the black ones also? But it's I'm not sure if it's as good a siman as it was when I heard about 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, his mamash was absolute. All the Jewish homes had white dude, Shemesh, all the Arab homes are black. It may or may not still be as clear a demarcation. But be that as it may, the question is, how about the Shemesh? So there are some posts who say, look, the Shemesh has mamash Bishul B'chavim. Oh, look. What's the concern with using hot water from the tap? You're bringing more cold water into the heating device. So if the heating device is a boiler in the basement, so that you're bringing water into a situation of bishul ba'ur. But here, so some posts can say, look, so what's the problem? So you're going to pull up hot water out of the dud shemesh. So it's going to pull. That's going to pump more cold water in. So fine. You're putting that. That's a Mishnah that's mutter. You're putting cold water. You'll have to put water in the chama b'shul she'echam. So there are many reasons to disagree with that. There are many reasons to be concerned with the dud shemesh. One is, Rav Moshe and the Rav would say, b'shul b'cham is ma'azeh zasser. Because the ubiquity of the dud shemesh eliminates the heter. Everyone's doing it. So it is derech bishul. So how can you tell me that it's mutter? And maybe it's still not derech bishul to fry eggs in the sun. That's probably still uncommon. If you look into camping supplies, so there are different mahalchim in hiking and camping supplies. So some people are, there's one mahalach, which is more the people who hike to the camping site, which is to be hypersensitive to weight and try to minimize the number of pounds you carry. The other mahalach is to take along, everything but the kitchen sink, or maybe something you have a camping sink. That's more common among people who do car camping. You drive to campsites, you can afford to bring everything. So in the group two, they have all sorts of gadgets. So there are gadgets out there in the camping supplies world for solar cooking. There are solar ovens. That they're built with lenses, and they're built to, instead of just light a leaf on fire with a magnifying glass, they mamish, you're not going to be able to cook a steak necessarily, but you probably can do eggs in a solar oven. Does that make it kederach? Because there is some market for it. It's certainly not as ubiquitous as dudei shemesh. But dudei shemesh are definitely absolutely the dominant in Eretz Yisrael. So some would say, if you hold like the Rav and Rav Moshe, so there's nothing to talk about. Of course, the dud shemesh is the problem. Bishul daraisa. It's bishul daraisa. And then there are two or three other arguments to be made against the dudei shemesh, which are in between or drabanan. So Shmuel Shabbos actually quotes what he heard about Peh from Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach, that you should avoid it. And he says, why? He says, well, how did the dudei shemesh work on cloudy days when there's no sun? So how do you have hot water? He says, yesh mekomos. I think by now everyone has this. There's an electric backup. As a matter of fact, many homes, 20 years ago, I think by now so most of it automatic. 20 years ago, many Israeli homes had a switch to turn on, like if you want to take a shower at night, you turn on the switch to turn on the electric boiler. So he says, you have to be, if you're going to let people use a duchemesh, use the hot water on Shabbos because they have a duchemesh, Shema, they'll come to use it even on a cloudy day when they're really pulling, when the electricity is on and it's a bishul ba'ur because it's being cooked by the electrical element. And then he says, that's mamish, it's gewaldic. He says, that's what Chazal said. That's the sheet of the Chacham, the Mishnah. That where Gozer told us Chacham, not to tell us the Or, because Asi Lechlufi. This is mamish, Asi Lechlufi. This is mamish, Asi Lechlufi. It's very clever. He says, this is mamish, we're applying, it's the same Savara as the Gzeirav told us Chacham. That even if those, this is Bishul B'chama, But the same device sometimes does Bishul B'chama, sometimes does Bishul B'or. So we should avoid. That's the second reason to avoid the Dud Shemesh. The third reason to avoid the Dud Shemesh is some say you got to be concerned about Bishul B'toldos Chama because of the when you pull cold water into the Dujemesh, long before it heats up from the sun, especially putting a small amount of water, it's going to heat up from the rest of the water. The rest of the water, l'chora, is toldos chama, not chama. That's the question. If you have toldos chama, it's still sitting in the sun. You have your frying pan still sitting in the sun. And then I crack an egg in the frying pan. And it's not frying from the sun. It's frying from the frying pan, primarily. So it's likely that's called toldos chama, even though it's in the sun. I got to figure that out. If you can say that, see, here you have the hot water. It's sitting in the sun, but I throw a little bit of cold water. It heats from the water itself, or maybe in the pipes. So that's the third argument to be made for against the Dud Shemesh. And finally, many understand that the Dud Shemesh itself is really told us Chama, not Chama Mamash. You have to sort of, that may depend on different models of Dud Shemesh, different ways of making it. Often it's collecting solar heat. It's not that the water is really, again, that may be a difference also between the white and the black. The black Dudei Shemesh may be really very direct, Mamish Bishul B'chama, but many of the newer Dudei Shemesh are really collecting solar heat and then using the solar heat, and either collecting electrically or otherwise, but it's not a direct sun to water. So again, those are the four arguments against using a Dud Shemesh tap on Shabbos. Number one, it's Kedarka, and that's the Rav and Rav Maisha. And then, not surprisingly, Rishama Zalman needs to give another reason why, because he thinks that actual Bishul B'chama is mutter. He says, okay, but you have to worry about the chlufe, because sometimes it's going to be electrical, or maybe there's some toldos chama going on with the water. And finally, the Dud Shemesh itself will often be working via toldos chama, rather than it's not direct heat transfer from the sunlight into the water. So it depends how it is built. There are poskim who are making on using a hot water tap that's fed by the Shemesh, but we generally would recommend against it. And then there's another kasha that we should talk about. And that's the question of Kasha and Rashi. It's a Kasha that Avinezer raises, and others raise as well. And that is, if the issue is Shalom Kedarka, Rashi says, well, in Derech Bishul B'kach. So I understand why it's Mutter in the Torah. I don't understand why it's Mutter in Jabbalah. Why is Bishul B'kach a Mutter? I understand Pater. That, again, that Mishnah Sadi Beis is not, well, one of the sources for the idea that kilach hayad is not a malacha daraisa. Yeah, the Mishnah says if you carry in your elbow and you carry it from your ear and you carry your mouth and etc. It's pater shlohotzi gedarach hamotzin. It's pater called shloh kedarka. That's kilach hayad literally means carrying the back of your hand, but it's used as an expression to refer to. It's eponymous. It's an example. It's used as an expression to refer to the whole category. Doing things in general in an awkward, unusual way, abnormal way. It's called kilach hayad. So yes, kilach hayad is not chayit, but kilach hayad is also not mutter. It's also not mutter. It's also not mutter. To write with your left hand, right? The Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph says that it's your chayit whether you write with your right hand or your left hand. So the Gemara right away says, how could that be? So the Gemara says, the first answer to the Gemara is the first two answers of the Gemara, we're talking about a lefty. A righty is chayav on his right hand, a lefty is chayav on his right hand, his left hand, and if someone's, and then the Abai works out some more. If someone's ambidextrous, is chayav, if it's known for you to write with both hands, then you're a chayav, whether you write with your right hand or your left hand. But a righty writing with his left hand, or lefty writing with his right hand. If you have a dominant hand and a non-dominant hand, you write with your non-dominant hand, you are pater. You are pater. You're pater. But is it mutter? Is it mutter? So the Mishnah Sai Beis tells us, no, kalachiyad is still an issur drabanan. It's pater. Pater, but pater means pater avalaser. It comes up early in the Masechta. You saw that's one of the opening principles the Rambam gives us based on the Gemara early in the Masechta. That chayiv means chayiv min haTorah, and pater means pater avalaser, and mutter is mutter. But pater doesn't mean mutter. Pater means asam drabanan. So the question is, that's what the Aben Ezer raises in more than one place. So why is Bishul B'chava Mutter? Again, it's the Beferish of Mishnah. Again, it's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talks about Toldos Chama. Our Mishnah is Machlokes, but Toldos Chama is Aser Mutter. Okay? So if Yossi says Toldos Chama is Mutter, but we don't agree with him, but the Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah later on, that the Gemara here quoted, for the Mishnah of Kufan Vav, says Beferish, that I can put the Tzonin B'chama V'shol She'echama. So why is that Mutter? That's a problem. Aben Ezer has a very, very difficult answer. Again, one answer might be, the kasha is only kasha lefi Rashi. If you think that the Meiri is saying that it's nothing to do with Shlok Kedarka, so then the kasha doesn't get started. That's not called Bishul, period. Okay, if it's not called Bishul, it's not called Bishul. But if you say like Rashi, and you understand, certainly, if you understand that as the Rav and Rishon, the Rav and Rav Moshe Feinstein clearly do, the Rashi meant literally. It's not derech. The literally has to do with be normal or abnormal, kedarka or shlo kedarka. So then, why is it heter gamma? Why is it heter gamma? So Aben Ezer has it to answer, but it's very difficult. I can tell you what he says. He says in a few places. He says there are different types of. It's a fascinating concept. The question is just does the chiluk work here? He has a chiluk between two types of shalok kedarka. The shalok kedarka where it's only shinui in the poel puula versus shalok kedarka the shinui in the nifal. Meaning, sometimes I'm doing the behavior in an odd way, but the result is identical. For instance, the Mishnah on Sadi Beis, I carry something in my mouth. So that's a very bizarre way of doing the Maisa, but the Totsa'ah is unchanged. The result is the same. Whether I carried it from place A to place B with my hand or with my teeth, either way, it's the same item in the same location. The result is unchanged. It's only a Shinoi in the Pu'ula, only a Shinoi in the Maisa. Masha Edekain, he says, sometimes you have a case where the Shinoi in the Maisa also results in a Shinoi Nifal. The result will be somewhat different. So he says, if you cook Bishul B'chama, it's not going to be the same as Bishul Ba'ur. So he has a very fancy approach to that, about Shvach Eitz and Bepas. It could have either, you could perhaps understand it simply, that things get browned on a fire. They're not going to say get browned in the sun. So if maybe it's anyone who's done sous vide, extended low-level heat is different than intense, brief, high-level heat. So Bishul B'chama, you could get a somewhat different product. He says, if it's only shinoi in the pu'ula, so then it's mutter min ha'tari ba'asim midrash b'anan. So shinoi in the totsa as well, shinoi nifal, so then it's mutter even midrash b'anan. What's the kasha? The raya against Aben Ezer. What's the most common example of doing something in an unusual way that results in different, more sloppy results? It was just mentioned. Yeah, Ksiva Bismal. Ksiva Bismal does not look the same. He said, I don't understand it. He says, yeah, Ksiva Bismal. So that's Asim Drabanan because it's the same as Ksiva, same letter. I mean, yes, it's an Aleph, it's a Beis, but it looks different. It's hard to understand. Wilk said to me, maybe he was one of the ambidextrous Chassidim. They could write those hands. I don't know. It's a difficult Aben Ezer. Unless he means, well, but to say it's sloppier, but it's still an Aleph. Okay, but Bishul B'chama also. It'll be a little different, but still cooked. I'm sure Aben Ezer has something in mind. I do not know what it is. Yeah?
You say that when it comes to writing, the pu'ula is the writing, and the totsa is to have something on the paper. It doesn't matter how well the formation is. As opposed to in cooking, the totsa isn't just to have something heat it up a little bit, it's to have the cooked after. So
that's interesting.
It's less cooked.
You're saying that the, which again, with the Gemara itself, by the way, in Parakakos, in Parakabona, by Yemin Asmo, may be driving that. You're saying that the Malach of Kosev is to convey, if you understand the Malach of Kosev, to convey information, which is the reason why the Rambam quotes that drawing a picture is a told of Kosev. The picture told of Kosev. He looked at the Mishnayos and Parakabon, all the letters, all of a sudden a picture. Picture is letterless. Picture is worth 1,000 words. But there for what? So the answer is no, a picture is worth 1,000 words, meaning a picture conveys information. So if you understand that the essence of the Malach of Kosev is conveying information, and that's why making a picture is a valid told of Kosev, that's interesting. So you're saying it's not the neatness of the writing is not like a negligible shinoi in the Totsah. But here, where we'll have to get into the definition of the Malach of Bishul, maybe it's worth already. You saw the opening Rambam says in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph that there are three different definitions of Bishul. There's making food edible, and there's heating water, and then there's Bishul on non-food items, which the Rambam understands to be either softening or hardening. So if you say, again, if you say that the core definition of Bishul is making food edible, so then the quality of the food is going to matter. It's the point that I'm creating edible food. So if this food eats like this and that food eats like that, these eggs taste one way and those eggs taste another way. So you're saying that's actually a substantive interesting. That's a substantive difference in the Totsah. But here, as long as it's readable, so whether the letters look beautiful or not, it's not about the beauty. This is not Sovea. This is Kosev.
It doesn't work for water, though. Hot water is hot water.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. That's kasha on the other side. But he says when he claims that there is a shinui in the nifal, the bishul lachama, they're made by food, but by water, yeah. Unless it's not going to get as hot. Now again, this is we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Bishul is only even by water. Bishul is only when you reach out to Salatas Bo. And once you reach out to Salatas Bo, I could get to a higher heat with a fire, but if I get the water up to Salatas Bo, I've already violated Bishul. Okay, but so maybe the fact that the potential isn't there, I got to think about this. Okay, so maybe the Pshat and Avinezer is in within this space. I'll share with you two other approaches. Ramesha talks about it a little bit in passing. Shlomo Zalman talks about it a little bit in passing. I'll share with you two other approaches. I'll share with you Rabbi Willig's approach, and I want to close with Rabbi Shechter's approach that really draws on Mahalach of the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. We'll close with that. Willig told me, I think he has this in Mordechai. He said, it's a low plug lakula. Mazeh. So he said, you have to say like the Avinezer that there are different types of Shlokadarkas, but what's the chiluk? Rather than saying that the differentiating variable is whether it's a shina in the nifl or not, I said maybe the differentiating variable should be, is this a behavior that usually works, or this is a behavior that, forget about being Shlokadarka, usually doesn't even work at all? He said, carrying your left hand, writing with your... Right, your left hand is unusual. People usually don't do it. But if you do it, it works. Carrying something in your teeth, that's abnormal. People don't usually do it. But when you carry things in your teeth, maybe occasionally people will like sneeze and drop it. But, you know, usually, 9 times out of 10, 9 times out of 100, if you carry things in your teeth, it works. The issue is only that it's abnormal. It's infrequently done. It's uncomfortable. That's why it's infrequent. But it's totally effective. So in those cases where it's abnormal behavior but it's effective, so he said that's a gzeir drabbanan. Chazal said midrabbanan, Torah's mutter because it's bishinoi, but midrabbanan they forbade it. He said, but bishul b'chama, it usually doesn't work at all. It's not just that people usually don't try it. Most foods, the Mishnah is talking about eggs. Because eggs cook very easily. Leaving aside the food chemistry for why that's so with the protein content. As you know, right, you could drop an egg into a hot pan and you get results pretty quickly. So that's why if you put an egg in the sun, if it's hot enough, you wait long enough, you'll get at least it'll be soft. You'll get some degree of bishul going. The vast majority of raw food, you put them out in the sun, you can leave it out all day long, nothing's going to happen. So, bishul b'chama is usually ineffective. Lo dai, that it's, even when it's effective, it's rarely done. So he said also by klirish and klisheni, which I have to get to. He said if the idea of klisheni also is it's not derech bishul, so vaita, why isn't it asa midrabanan? Maybe sometimes it is, maybe it's not. If it's not, why not? Said the same thing. Most things just don't cook in a klisheni. So even things that do cook in a klisheni, it's unusual and it's rarely effective. Bishul b'chama. It's not as unusual, but it's rarely effective. So the way he put it is, it's a low plug lakula. It's usually mutter anyway because there's no bishul. 98% of the foods in your pantry, it's mutter to put out in the sun because on Shabbos because no bishul will occur. So even the eggs, it's mutter min haTorah put the eggs in the sun because it's shlo kedar. I Chazal should make gzeira drabanan. He called it a low plug lakula. What I think that means is we have a rule that one of the rules that govern Chazal's gezeira making is that milsul ashricha lo gazer be'rabanan. Chazal are authorized by the Ribbono Shalom and expected to mishmarta mishmarta yasu mishmarta sul mishmarta. Chazal was supposed to enact din drabanan in order to protect the devices, but they have that authority if and when they're actually giving substantive protection to the daraisas. Misal ashricha, lo gazer be'rabanan. Misal ashricha, to make a gzera misal ashricha, it's going to provide very little protection to the daraisa, and therefore they're not authorized, not expected, and not even authorized to make such a gzera drabanan. So maybe that's what this low plug lakula means. In other words, bishul b'chama is a far rarer shalo kedarka than anything else. Because everything else, at least, it works. People usually don't do it, but when they do it on any item, it's going to work. Bishul b'chama is super, super, super rare.
Would this be applied to other things? Like, could you, like carrying a piece of paper by blowing on it? Because normally, if you try to blow something, it won't move.
Oh, interesting. I don't know. Maybe. If you look at Amordechai, he develops a rise to this. So it's an interesting savar. So again, the Avinezer's chiluk is that if there's a shinui, even the nifal, then it's hetzer gamer. But the dindra abanon, the isra abanon of shlok adarka is when it's only shinui in the pula. Willig's suggestion was isra abanon is when it's always effective, just abnormal. But if it's sort of behavior that's usually not even effective, even when it is effective, it's abnormal. So that's a misal shchicha lo gazer be'rabanan. Shechter suggested to me the following. That the reason he thinks is it took Kedarko, it took time to schlep out of him which part was his chiddush. He presents it as everyone else's chiddush. I'll try to present it accurately. And I'll give you what was for Moshe Feinstein, what was for Shechter's nofech mishalo. He suggested that it has to do with whether it's something that's relevant b'chol Torah kula or not, as follows: the Ramah in the previous siman Shin Yud, we're in Shin Yud Ches, the siman of Bishul, Shin Yud Zayin is about kosher and matir. So the Ramah Shin Yud Zayin towards the end of Sif Aleph, Shin Yud Zayin, Ramah quotes Nagas Alfasi, another name for the Shiltai Gibborim. That kesher al gabe, if you make a double knot, it's asur midraban to tie a double knot, even if it's only for a brief period of time. So that b'makam tzar is mutter because mishum tzar lo gazer be'rabanan. But the Rama says in general, based on shulta giborim, you shouldn't tie a double knot even l'sha midrabanan. So it has to be kesher shal kayama. So kesher shal kayama means you have a proper knot, and that it's a malachta miskayama, so it's going to last, at least for Shabbos, and maybe even for discussion for how long. Rama says, but midrabanan is also to tie a double knot, even for a brief period of time. And the question is why? Why Chazal make that issur drabanan? So Rav quoted from his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, that the Hezbar HaDavar and that Ramah is based on a concept that the Tosus raises in Maseches Yuma Daf Lamed Hayim and Av. There's a long, long, long Tosus that sweeps over from Lama Dala and Beis onto Lama Hei Medal. Very, very lengthy Tosus. It's not technically an iceberg, for those who are familiar with that Nusuch, because that's when it goes from Lama Dala to Lama Beis. You don't even realize at first how long it is here. You're opening right away. It goes from Lama Dala and Beis Lama Hei Medal. Very clearly, a very lengthy, very beautiful Tosus. So Rav Shechter said to me that a lot of concepts in that Tosus. Tosus raises a lot of different ideas. Tosus is there dealing with issues of Shem Tzrich Lugufa and Dav Shem Eskavim versus Psek Reshe. Very, very rich Tosus. And as Rav Shechter pointed out, over the course of Tosus, they raise many, many different svaros. That's one of the places where Tosus quotes the Aruch, Psek Reshe Nichale is Mutter, and they don't like the Aruch. In the discussion that follows the debate about the Aruch, Psek Reshe that I'm not interested in, if you want to find it, this is, again, Tosus Yuma Lamed Heim and Aleph. It's the beginning of the 13th wide line. It begins. The following piece of Tosus begins on the 13th wide line. Lamed Heim and Aleph and Tosus. And they say the following. The Rav Shechter was menaseach it. It's a very elegant way of being menaseach the Tosfos. Is that why is it you have we have certain klali malachas we've been talking about, and we mentioned that one of the klali malachas, which may be a klal b'chol tarakula, is that shalom kedarka is not the malacha daraisa. So another klal is that the davar shein meskavim is not a malacha daraisa. So I'm doing pu'ula A, which may or may not lead to pu'ula B. I'm trying to get the chair across the lawn, and one of the classic examples the Gemara has, but it may end up gora to meet the keys of a safsol. It may end up pulling up some of the soil. So if I know for sure it's going to pull up the soil, so that's a problem. That's segregation. If I know that pula is going to lead to pula B, then that's a problem. But if I'm not even sure, I just want to get the chair to the other side. I have no interest in plowing the soil. It may or may not plow the soil. So I'm mechavin to pula A. It may or may not result to pula B. It's the pula B, the davar shein meskavin. That's mutter. Not just pater, but mutter. Malach shein tzrich lagufa, where I'm doing it for a different purpose than the purpose in the Mishkan, that's pater avalaser. So how come, Tosfos wants to know, this is where Shechter presented that piece of Tosfos, how come malach shein tzrich lagufa is pater avalaser, but they did forbid it midrabanan, but Davar Shein Meskavin is Heter Gomer. Why didn't they make a Gzer Jabban Davar Shein Meskavin the same way they make Gzer Jabban on Malach Shein Tzrich Lagufa? The Tosus, beginning with the 13th wide line, Lamed Hei Amud Aleph and Yuma, has the following Yisod that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik seized upon, which is, we make those Dinim Jabbanon Lahashvel Shabbos L'Kol HaTorah Kula. Something which is uniquely mutter on Shabbos, but b'chol Torah Kula will be aser. So then midrabanan, we're going to make it aser on Shabbos also. But lacha shein tzrich lagufa is a uniquely Shabbos phenomenon. There is a concept that Gemara has in several places of meleches machsheves aser Torah. Torah uses that terminology really in the context of Mishkan. Meleches machsheves aser Torah. So whenever you have a principle like lacha shein tzrich lagufa, we have a heightened focus on what the purpose is, more so than b'chol Torah Kula, because by Shabbos, meleches machsheves aser Torah. So if it's, but let's say, melech shein tzrich lagufa by Shemitah is a chiyuv d'oraisa. This is unique to Shabbos. So then we say, okay, if b'chol Torah Kula it's d'oraisa, so by Shabbos it's mutter b'atorah, but we're going to make it aser midrabanan. But davar shein meskavein, which is, for those who learn Cheskzavatim, deep in Cheskzavatim, that's a principle of B'chol Torah Kula. Davar shein meskavein is mutter B'chol Torah Kula. Some of the details may be a little different, but Yev Shev Lokha Mechavein is mutter B'chol Torah Kula. So then there's no reason to make it Asim Midrabanan in Hilchot Shabbos. That is the principle that Tosfos has Maseches Yuma. That we're going to introduce Gezeiros Drabanan, and this particularly in the world of Klali Malachos, if it's something that's asim na Torah b'chol Torah Kula, so then midrabanan will make it asim b'Shabbos lahashlo Shabbos b'chol Torah Kula. But if it's something which is excluded b'chol Torah Kula as well, then there's no reason to make it zero. Again, the chiluk between machshen tzrich lagufa and davar shein meskavin. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said that also explains that Tosfos in Yuma about Machshei Tzrich Lagufa versus Davar Shein Meskavin, that's also going to help us with this Ramah b'shem Shilte Kiborim, Simshin Yud Zayin. Why did Chazal forbid Midrabanan to make a double knot if it's only, if you're going to untie it in a half hour? I want my shoelaces got a little slippery, so I want to double knot them. I'm going to be walking outside for an hour. I'm going to come back home. I'm going to untie it. So the Ramah says you should avoid it. Why? So he said, because that's, well, like you said, that's aser b'chal tarkula. You're not allowed to tie. I'm allowed to tie knots. What's the parah b'chal tarkula? So he pointed out like this. There is an idea of kesher shel kayam b'chal tarkula as well, where in the world of the mitzvah, in the din of tefillin, that's a sugi in the last parak of Maseches Erevin, parak of Motzei Tefillin. The Gemara there says, Gemara wonders if I have to tefillin has to have a kesher or kshar tam lo seyadecha machlokas rabbi tam rei leyo. But that means you have to tie it every day, you just have to have a knot. But there certainly is a din of kshira by tefillin. So the question, the Gemara wants to know, how about if I make a bow instead of a knot? I make an aniva. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. If aniva is considered to be kasher shel kayama, then it's kasher. Then the same way it's aser, it's a malacha by Shabbos, it's going to be kasher for tefillin. But if it's not considered to be a kasher shel kayama, it's not a malacha by Shabbos, then it's not going to be a kasher for tefillin either. So there is a notion of kasher shel kayama b'chol Torah kula. How about if I have a kesher shel kayama for, how about if I'm not for a short period of time? So the truth is, Avenezer has a chiddush. Avenezer said that let's say you borrow someone's shalrosh, and you need to adjust it because you have a bigger head, a smaller head. So usually what people do is you adjust the knot, put the tefillin on, and when you're done, you try to adjust it back and give it back to the fellow. So tomorrow morning he'll have his. He doesn't have to do any work tomorrow morning. Avnezer said he thought you're not allowed to do that because if you re-knot the tefillin, the borrower re-knots his tefillin only for a half hour, only for an hour, only for 20 minutes, however long he's planning to have the tefillin on, so then that's not, you see from the Gemara Neir, if you need Kesher Shel Kayama, that's not a Kesher Shel Kayama. Avnezer said, once you redo the tefillin, you should leave it until tomorrow, so that way it'll be a Kesher Shel Kayama. Which is difficult because it's not so clear that 24 hours is enough. Certainly, I mean, a Torah. So the Rav quote from his father, Moshe thought that the Avnez was incorrect, and he thought again it comes up also in that discussion about Rabbi Tam Rei Eliyahu. Rabbi Eliyahu says Machos Hilchos Tefillin. Rabbi Eliyahu is of the opinion that every day you're supposed to tie the tefillin. So Abi Pasha, that means you untie them every day also. I have an answer. It's very difficult. So Tosis had some discussion about that. So the Rishon Soloveitchik said, no. It's true that that there's a din of kesher shel kayama by tefillin also, but that's only in terms of the tsuras hakesher. It has to be the type of knot that lasts. There are two types. There's knotting, and then there's just wrapping strings together. But in terms, and that's that idea of the tsuras hakesher, that's b'chol Torah kul. That's a definition of kshira. The halachic definition of b'chol Torah kul is the halachic definition of a kesher, and that means that it has a tsuras hakesher, that's the type of knot that lasts. But how not long you plan for this knot to actually last, that's something unique to Hilchos Shabbos. That's because as Rosh Lavechik said against Avinezer, that's a div melachta miskayemes b'Shabbos. That's based on melachas machshavas. That has no relevance b'chol Torah kula. That's unique to Shabbos. So said the Ramosha, sort of a rough quote from Ramosha Soloveitchik, that's why. So let's say I'm going to make the type of knot that counts min ha-Torah in Hilchos Tefillin. It's a tsuras ha-kasher kasher shel kayama, but it's only for an hour. So min ha-Torah, it's mutter on Shabbos because it's ein malachta miskayemes b'Shabbos. But it is a kesher shel kayama elsewhere in halacha in the world of Hilchos Tefillin, if you don't accept Avin Ezer, so that's why midrabanan it's aser here as well. Right. So again, you have to read the concept you already have in Maseches Yuma in the Tosfos Maseches Yuma that Chazal are going to forbid klali malachas midrabanan if it's a sort of thing that b'chol Torah kula would have relevance min haTorah. So that's why Mlach Tavashem Eskaven is Mutter, Mlach Shem Tzrich Lagufa is Asim Midrabanan. Kesher kesher that has a tsuras kesher shel kayama, but you intend for it only to last briefly, would according to Rav also be asim drabbanan, because that's a relevant kesher by tefillin. So Rav Shechter suggested, and this is his Tosefos Nopech, that if you take that thinking applied to Bishul Bechama, that's why Bishul Bechama is not Derech Bishul, but Heter Gamor, because that's a concept that's relevant Bechol HaTorah Kula. That's how we began. That Bishul Bechama is not only not Bishul for Shabbos, it's also not Bishul, it comes up in Karban Pesach, it comes up in Basur Bechalav, might come up in Bishul Akim, Bishul Akim is Rabbanan, but it comes up in Bishul throughout Halacha. So you might say that that's again like the Meiri, that's a just general definition of Bishul. Or you might say, like the simple reading of Rashi, no, it's because of Shlok Adarka, but as Rav Elchanan says, Shlok Adarka is a din Bechal Tarakula. At least sometimes. So whatever Shlok Adarka is a din Bechal Tarakula, so then Kishem, that if Bishul Bechama isn't considered Bishul anywhere in Halacha, then according to Tosfos and Yuma, there's no reason to forbid it, Midrabana. So that's, in those cases, where Shalok Kedarka is such that it applies Bechal Tarakula, then it will be Mutter in Shabbos, not only Mutter Min HaTorah, but even Mutter Midrabana, and that's, again, another solution to the question of the Avnei Nezer. Again, we've begun. This was the first segment in dealing with the sugyas of Bishul. It's a question of the heat source. When you're cooking on a fire, or you're cooking on something heated by a fire, or you're cooking on an electrical element, that is all definitely considered to be ur, because metal that glows is considered, making metal glow is considered to be mavir. That's why we assume that the same way we assume that turning on an incandescent bulb, a filament bulb, is a malacha daraisa, they're making the metal glow. Who a dinami to cook on heated metal is going to be bishul daraisa. As a matter of fact, that may be what the Gemara means. Chalfi apiskel de gehenim. Geothermal heat is really, geologists tell us nowadays, hot metal in the center of the earth. That's where the heat may ultimately be coming from. So that's all Malacha Daraisa. Bishul Batal is Chama, the Gemara, the Bavli says Bishul Batal is Chama, the Malacha Daraisa. Yerushalmi may disagree. We pass on like the Bavli. Told us Chama, Bishul Batal is Ur, is a Malacha Daraisa, a Tolda perhaps, but a Malacha Daraisa. And Bishul Batal is Chama is Draban and Atu, that Bishul Bachama is Mutter. Machlokas Rishonim, perhaps, why it's Mutter. Machlokas Achronim, Lamaisa is a Mutter even when it's Ragil. We spoke about the COVID Shiurim's idea about Shloka Darka being relevant Bechal Torah Kula, and three different approaches, Avnei Nezer, Willig, and Rav Shechter, to why it is that Bishul Bechama is Mutter even Midraban. This is just the beginning. We're going to be getting in, Bishul Bechama is not as practical, we're going to be getting very quickly into the most practical issues of Yerushim versus Klisheni, and the definitions of Yad Saletus Bo, and Ein Bishul Acher Bishul. That's where most of the action Lamaisa is going to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Rav, who says it is